looking forward to greater things. Amen. I want to draw your attention to Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse number 10. I do not take it lightly to be here to have the opportunity to speak to you. I have been praying, and I feel like the Lord has spoken to me, and I feel very strongly that the Lord wants to minister to all of us here today. But maybe there's someone specific, I don't know. But I'm going to try and be led by the Lord. Exodus 14:10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Why didn't you just let us be? And Moses said unto the people," God love the preacher here, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." Man, that's a great Sunday morning message. And then the Lord said to Moses after he got done preaching, figuring, you know, that's pretty good, right? The Lord said, "Why in the world are you crying out to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." So I want to preach to you for a little bit here this morning. Called to go forward. You, me, all of us. There is something that the Lord is declaring to each and every one of us here today. And that is, you are called to go forward. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to help us to minister your word. Help me to preach your word. Lord, but help us to receive your word and help us to apply your word. Let it more be inspiration and more than just revelation, but let there be an application that, yes, Lord, we're going to grow, Lord. We're going to go places we've never been before, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Again, Moses, children of Israel, the setting, they're at the Red Sea. They had just left Egypt through the power of the blood of the Lamb. Pharaoh's armies were in hot pursuit of Israel. Israel seemed to be trapped in the wilderness. The Red Sea was in front of Israel, and Pharaoh's armies were behind them. Israel was afraid as Moses encouraged the people again with these words. Verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." But then again, it's just to me so startling in Scripture. The Lord speaks to Moses. Let me say this verse again. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? I want you to speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Israel's deliverance, Israel's victory, Israel's peace was dependent upon them going forward. God called Israel to go forward. The Lord told his people through the pen of Jeremiah, and I so enjoyed the teaching of Brother Demas on Ezekiel the prophet. That was so amazing. Here, another of the major prophets, Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to him and spoke to his people through the pen of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7:23, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart." And look at this. "And they went backward and not forward." There's a key here. It's real simple. By obeying the voice of God and walking the ways of God, a person will automatically be going forward in their life. God never tells us to go backward. God is always challenging his people to go forward. To go forward requires a commitment. The Lord has no plans whatsoever that your life or my life end in failure. But we must be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You could say, you don't know what I'm going through, preacher. And that's right, I don't. But the Lord does. And there is something that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And God, the end that he has designed for you is an end of blessedness and of hope and of victory, praise the Lord. But the only way that you and I will ever experience that is that we must obey the voice of the Lord and the ways of God, and we must go forward. The Lord has a plan of prosperity for your life, but we must be committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The steps of a good man, a good woman are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Amen. A good man or a good woman is an individual that is committed to the will of the Lord in their life. We are called to grow. We are called to advance. We are called to stretch. Amen. God does not want to leave us just where we are at right now. I thank God for every one of you and your experience that you have with the Lord. But the Lord doesn't want you to just stay there. There is something that the Lord is calling forth to each and every one of us, and that is you need to go forward. Amen. But to go forward requires a commitment. And there can be no commitment where there is no trust. Israel was dealing with an approaching enemy in the Egyptians. The Egyptians were behind them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. They were facing an impossible situation. Yet the Lord calls out and says, go forward. Are you facing something impossible today? Are you facing an impossible situation? No matter what you are facing, you are called to go forward, not backward, not into retreat. Whatever you're facing today, there is a call coming forth from heaven itself, and the Lord is just speaking to each and every one of us, and he's saying, hey, listen, I know what's going on. I'm telling you, don't you retreat. Don't you go backward. Hey, man, don't you go back to where you were at, but go forward, praise the Lord. Amen. God has called us to go forward. You cannot have a more vivid picture of the danger of going backward than what Israel, what we see here with Moses and the children of Israel. They were surrounded. On either side were mountains. They had two choices. They could either go forward to the Red Sea, or they could go backward to the Egyptian army. To turn back and go where Israel had come from meant certain defeat. The Israelites being killed was a very probable scenario. If not being killed, their enslavement would have been considerably worse than what they were delivered from. Going back would have been a very, very dangerous decision. Going backwards is always very dangerous. A man came to Jesus, Luke 9, and said to him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Amen. Lord, I'll follow you, but I have to go home and see what my friends have to say about it. Lord, I'll follow you, but I've got to make sure and test that this is really, I got to weigh all the pros and cons out. This man wanted to see if it was a popular thing to do. But Jesus said to him in verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Your walk with God cannot be determined by outside influences. If you're looking back to friends or back to circumstances, you will and I will not make it in the kingdom of God. A good plowman keeps his eye straight ahead on the furrow, for if he turns his head, the furrow will become crooked. You cannot walk straight and look backward. What you are looking at is the direction that you are headed. Our focus in life, what we set our sights on, is crucial. I pray, let our focus be on Jesus Christ. Let our focus be on the Word of God. Let our focus be, Lord, I give my life to you, Lord. I put my trust in you, Lord. Jesus inserted a simple reminder to all of us in a very short, small verse, Luke 17:32. It simply states, remember Lot's wife. We are to take a warning by her not only to flee Sodom, but to persevere in our flight from Sodom and not look back as she did. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt that she might remain a lasting monument of God's displeasure against those who begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. In remembering Lot's wife, we are not to look back, for the temptation to go back will be great. We are to remember that we are called to go forward. Everybody say forward. Forward. Say it again. Forward. Amen. Say this, I am called to go forward. I thank God where you're at. I thank God the experience that you've had. If you're a guest here visiting this church, I'm thankful you've got a commitment to the Lord. I honor that. I think that's amazing. I thank God for people. I recognize some of you that have been here in this church for years. Thank you for your faithfulness. But it's not time to just sit. It's not time to somehow look back. There's something that's got to get a hold of us. There is a call from heaven. I am called to go forward. Paul writes to the Christians at Rome. He says this in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, and nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And what an incredible thing that Paul is reminding the church at Rome. You got to understand, no matter what, Jesus loves you. Amen. There are people that grow up and their parents say they didn't love them. And different people, spouse walks out from them and they feel like they're not loved. And I can't imagine. And I feel so bad about that. But I'll tell you something. There's not a day that Jesus doesn't love you. There's not a day that Jesus doesn't care about you. Paul is reminding this. Paul preaches to the church that no trial, no pain, no embarrassment, no problem will separate us from Christ's love. Nothing. Not even demonic forces from the pit of hell can get between us and the love of God. Paul tells us that death can't get between the Lord and us. Paul tells us that there is no problem we are facing right now or problems that we will face in the future that will separate us from the love of God. The only thing that is missing from this list is things from the past. Again, let me read it for you. Verse 38 again. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that tells me there is something that can separate us from the love of God. And that are things in the past. The only thing that can separate us, get between us and the love of God, are things in the past. I know people. Now everybody looks straight ahead at me. Don't look around to the right or the left. Let's not give anything away. But I know people who live in the past. They're chained to past relationships. They're looking back at difficult times. You know those people. Look straight ahead. You don't dare ask them how they're doing. You avoid them. We're called to go forward. You cannot go forward and have unforgiveness in your heart. You cannot grow. Bitterness is a result of something that was done in the past. Bruises, whether it's self-inflicted or by others, are present reminders of past hurts. If I'm going to hammer something, and which is very likely a hammer, to hit a nail and miss it, hit my hand. So you come up to me and want to shake my hand or rub up against me. Amen. Here I get this big old bruise and you bang into me and I say, oh, you hurt me. Well, you didn't hurt me. You reminded me of something that happened in the past. You cannot dwell in the past and be moving forward. You cannot dwell in the past and be moving forward. You cannot be chained to past hurts and past wrongs and past difficulties and past trials. You cannot be chained to those things and move forward. The danger in going backward is that it will get between you and the love of God. The Lord doesn't stop loving you, but something happens and clouds you and you think, amen, the Lord doesn't love me because he wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And we just live in the past. Let me tell you something. He's on the throne. He's in control. Amen. He loves you, praise the Lord. But there's got to be something within us, it says. I got a call on my life. I'm called to go forward. As Moses stood between the approaching Egyptian army and the shore of the Red Sea, he could not help but hear the complaints of the people. The vast majority of the people were crying to go back to Egypt. Again, let me read it. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dwelt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. The people were crying to go back to Egypt, but Moses was urging them, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in God and go forward. Again, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. That was a great message. But in order for that message to be in impactful, in order for that message to come out and be lived, the people had to do something. They had to go forward. You got a great pastor. He preaches an incredible message. I understand he preached about repentance last week. And you might say, man, that was one of the best messages I've ever heard on repentance. But you know what? It was of no value unless you went forward. Colliding on the shoreline were the mixtures of two attitudes, one crying to go back, the other crying to go forward. We've got to fight the pull to go backward, led by the governor Zerubbabel, and with the permission from Cyrus, king of Persia, the Jews came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. The builders had laid the foundation of the temple, and the priests and the Levites began to praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then all the people began to shout with a great shout, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But Ezra, the third chapter, records this. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men, elders that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes. They wept with a loud voice and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout and the noise was heard afar off. The old men were weeping and the young men were shouting for joy. It was a time time that was intended to be a joyful time, but there were those who apparently were looking back to the past. The temple, this new temple apparently was much smaller than Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and they were discouraged. The temple was so small, or possibly I've heard that the temple was as big or larger, but it was made with inferior materials. Whatever it was, while the young men who had been freed from captivity in the heathen land, and they were thrilled that they would have a place to worship God, there were old men who were thinking of the good old days. The mixture of those who want to live in the past and those who want to go forward is a battle that we fight today. Those who want to relive yesterday's problems, or those who want to talk about the good old days as if they were perfect. You know what? If the good old days were so perfect, why are all the pictures in black and white? You think about that. Well, I certainly believe we need to appreciate where we have come from, stand for truths that our forefathers have passed on to us, and learn from the past. I in no way want to go back. And even if I wanted to, I can't. You can't go back. It is true for the church. It's true for the child of God. The best is yet to come. I thank God for the history of Calvary Gospel Church, but I promise you the greatest days of Calvary Gospel Church are not in the rearview mirror, but they're going forward, praise the Lord. You have a choice. I have a choice whether we'll listen to those who want to live in the past or those who want to go forward. Let me tell you a little secret. The Lord is behind those who are telling you to go forward. Praise the Lord. Come on, you need to grow. Come on, you need to experience more of God. Come on, you need to go in deeper places with the Lord. Thank God for what He's done. But there's so much more He wants to do. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Moses and Israel would have been destroyed had they had gone backward. But instead, they faced the impossible and went forward. They experienced a miracle working power of God because they went forward. Look at this, Exodus 14, 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. The Red Sea parted. You want to know why it parted? Because they went forward. They walked on dry ground. You want to know why they walked on dry ground? Because they went forward. Pharaoh's armies were destroyed. You want to know why Pharaoh's armies were destroyed? Because they went forward. They made it to the other side safe. You want to know why? It's because they went forward. The power of God would not have been released had they gone back toward the Egyptians, but because they went forward, a miracle took place. If you'll hear the voice of God, He is saying, go forward. And I personally believe if you'll go forward, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see blessings of God. You're going to see answers to prayer. But there's got to be something within us. I refuse to go back. I'm going forward, praise the Lord. Poor leper sat at the gate. Samaria, city of Samaria, was under siege from the Syrian army. The entire nation of Israel was running out of food and water. It was desperate times, to say the least. These four lepers determined that there was no food in the city, and if they just sat there, they're going to die. And so they determined to do something that no one else in the city of Samaria would do. They decided to go forward. And you know what? Because they decided to go forward, the Lord multiplied their footsteps to sound like a mighty army, which caused Syria to run away in fear, leaving all of their provisions. The power of God is manifested when we go forward. We must go forward even when we're frustrated. Hey, man, Peter was washing his nets because he was done fishing. Hey, I know he was done for the night, but I think he could have been done forever. Hey, man, the boat was on the shore, and he was done for the day. And the Lord had fished all night, caught nothing. And Jesus said, I need to use your boat because the crowd was so great on the shore. And so he pushed out a little bit into the water. And Jesus taught the people that were standing on the shore from the boat, Peter's boat. But that wasn't the most important lesson, because when Jesus was done teaching, amen, Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, for you're going to catch a whole bunch of fish, Peter. Even though he was frustrated, even though Peter had fished all night, he had caught not a single fish. But he listened to the words of Jesus Christ, and he went forward, and he launched out into the deep. And because Peter went forward, Peter caught the mother load of catching fish, amen, that he'd ever caught in his entire career. But what even greater was, amen, that the Lord called him to be a fisher of men, and his life was forever changed because he went forward. The lesson Peter received is, no matter how frustrated you may be, amen, go forward. Amen, you might be having the worst day you've ever had. You might be having the worst week, month, year, whatever, but don't you somehow say, I'm going to forget about this. God doesn't care about me. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to use you. But there's got to be something within you that says, I refuse to sit here. I refuse to be in the Molly Grubbs pity party. I am going to go forward. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I'm called to go forward. Oh, say it like you mean it. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Oh God, speak to us here today. Oh Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You may be frustrated, but go forward. Don't stop growing. Don't stop living for God. God's power is manifested in the lives of people who are going forward. Do you want the miraculous? Do you want to please God? Do you want the power of his salvation to work in your life? Then it's real simple. You and I must realize the principle, the truth. There's a call of God on our life, and that is every day that we live, we are called to go forward. Praise the Lord. In the third epistle of John, the apostle John was commending and challenging a man named Gaius. Gaius had blessed many traveling preachers by showing to them hospitality. Apparently, Gaius had given to them food, shelter, and even money. It was believed to be wrong for the ministry to ask sinners, Gentiles, to give money and support to the ministry, but it was the responsibility of the church to support the ministry. Gaius was a man who loved God and the truth. And Gaius also was a man who desired to help spread the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The wording of the Apostle John is so interesting in the third epistle of John, the sixth verse. He says this, which have borne witness of thy charity, talking about Gaius, before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. It was well, or Gaius was doing well, by helping brethren, even strangers, on their journey. John was challenging Gaius to bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, brethren and strangers. He was encouraging them to go forward by righteous choices and righteous living, to go forward by being led by the Spirit of God. Gaius was to encourage others on their journey by pointing them forward in a godly direction. We so often want quick fixes. We want things to happen immediately. We base our decisions on how we feel at the moment rather than how it will affect us in the future. Life is a process. My life, your life are more than one event, one tragedy, one calamity, one mistake, or one circumstance. Obviously, what you and I go through in our past will help determine who and what we are today. I understand that. But that's my point. We are who we are because all of the things that we face and how we have handled them to this point. When you and I look in, when we took our first breath and began what we call life, you were not an accident. You are not a mistake. The Lord could have chosen to have you alive at any other time, but He chose to have you alive today. We must recognize that the Lord is in control. The Lord wants to use you. Life is more than one day's circumstances, but life is a process, for the Lord has sent us on a journey. All of us are on a journey. We journeyed through 365 days of 2025, and we've made it, amen, through 17 days of this new year, and now we find ourselves living and breathing on this Sunday morning, January 18th, 2026. The past few months, the journey that we have been on has at times been very difficult, at times been trying, perhaps even been unprecedented. It's been times of great uncertainty in the economy. It's been times of lawlessness in our nation. It's been times of a divisiveness in our nation. And it has been a time of transition, frustration, blessings, victory, and stretching for Calvary Gospel Church. But all of us have survived. If you're not breathing right now, this message has nothing to do with you. But if you're alive, no matter how bad it's been, you survive. All of us are here today because of the grace, the mercy of Almighty God. God has been good to each one of us, and He's provided for us. God has been so good. Amen. God's had His hand on this church, and God has been good to this assembly. Jesus is on the throne. However, our journey is not over yet. All of us are on a journey, and the final destination is heaven. But the goal of this church is on your journey to challenge you to go forward in a godly direction. Experience salvation. If you've not repented of your sins, not been baptized in Jesus' name, not received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the initial evidence to speak with other tongues, you need to be born again. You need to experience a new birth. You need to go forward and experience more. Amen. You know what? You need to pray more. Amen. I thank God for your prayer life. But come on, we don't need to somehow be lax. We need to worship the Lord like we've never worshiped Him before. Amen. We need to be disciple makers. We need to reach the lost. Amen. We all of us need a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So your associate pastor stood here and taught a wonderful Bible lesson this morning. And what was it? It was a challenge for you to go forward in a godly direction. Sunday school teachers throughout this building, elements teachers, amen, were teaching today, and it was real simple. They were saying, come on, you need to go forward in a godly direction. You need to experience more. Thank God. Amen. We're not just sitting here saying, oh, I know all of that. I know all of that. Shame on you. You don't have this all figured out. I don't have this all figured out. There are places the Lord wants to take us that we have never been before. Praise the Lord. But there's got to be something within us, it says. I want to go forward. Pastor and Sister Peter Sandin will be doing well if they encourage you to go forward in a godly direction. And I promise you, every time he opens his mouth, every time Sister Sandin opens her mouth, it is to challenge us to go forward. They want you to grow spiritually. They want you to go forward godly direction. Clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Paul had a passion to go forward. He said to the Philippians, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Looking back, brothers and sisters, will get us off course. Paul would not let anything do that. No past accomplishments or past suffering. Nothing. Paul was constantly reaching forth. He was constantly going forward. Paul's focus was Jesus Christ in heaven. The Christian life is marked by growth, always moving forward spiritually. Paul was aware of the exciting things ahead of him, but in order to experience them, he must go forward. The Australian coat of arms has two animals on it, their flag, the kangaroo and the emu, or ostrich. They have the kangaroo, and the reason why they have the kangaroo and the emu on their flag is because it is impossible for a kangaroo or an emu to walk backwards. The only thing that they can do is go forward. And they wanted the emblem of their nation to say, "We're going to go forward." When they would get up in the morning and see that flag, something was said to the citizens of Australia today. All right, we need to go forward today. Would to God that would be with all of us here today. When I get up, amen, I'm going forward. Because that's a call from heaven. Let's stand together. Praise God.